What's up, sunshine? Welcome back to another fresh, fast-paced episode of CNN 10, your 10 minutes of news, where we serve you up the what so you can decide what to think. I'm Coy Wire, and we are kicking off this news for this January 8th, 2026, with a tech-tastic bang in Las Vegas, where the world's largest tech extravaganza is in full futuristic swing at the Consumer Electronics Show, or CES. Sin City looks more like Silicon Valley this week. Some of the biggest names in technology are swarming the strip to unveil some next-gen gadgets that seem straight out of a sci-fi flick. We're talking everything from flying taxis to robot vacuums that can climb up stairs to AI-powered humanoid robots. The trade show is a place for companies from all over the world to showcase their latest dreams, hoping to strike a deal to make them a reality.
CES is where global business gets done. It's where partnerships and conversations turn into deals and ideas move from concept to market.
CES isn't just about the new. It's about nostalgia as well. Since the 1960s, it's seen the debut of some of history's most famous gadgets, like the first home VCR, the compact disc player or CD player, and OG video game consoles like the Atari and Nintendo. Even Tetris, the best-selling video game in history, made its first U.S. appearance at the show in 1988. One oldie but goodie is getting a glow-up at this year's CES. The world's most famous building bricks are learning new tricks. Lego unveiling its Smart Play system, which uses bricks with built-in sensors to respond to motion and bring sets to life.
So it consists of an audio brick, which is packed with tremendous amount of intelligence and is able to read behaviors that are programmed into tags or in interactive minifigs. All of that fits seamlessly with the Lego system and play. It can go into any set. But what it gives us an opportunity to do is to bring completely new dimensions to the Lego sets and Lego play.
To create in silicon from the get-go is very unusual and extremely challenging, if I'm really honest. But, you know, it worked, and that's the important thing.
But the titan of the tech this year, perhaps the astounding AI and this big boom we're seeing. Artificial intelligence is everywhere. Guests are even battling autonomous bots in blackjack and chess as they browse the booths.
AI is the huge story. We've got more than 4,000 exhibitors across more than 2.6 million net square feet of exhibit space, and almost every single one of those exhibit feet are occupied with some form of AI.
NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang took the stage with a pair of bots that looked straight out of a Star Wars movie. He announced his company's newest superchip, dubbed the Vera Rubin. Huang also detailed the company's push into physical AI, which powers everything from robots to smart cars.
This is groundbreaking work. I would not be surprised if the industry would like us to make this format and this structure an industry standard in the future. This is completely revolutionary.
Hyundai also unveiled their next generation of AI-powered robots, including the Atlas prototype, which they say is designed to work alongside humans. And while the company's robot dogs have been leading the litter of the robotics industry for years, a new high-tech canine is stealing the show. Tombot's Jenny is a lifelike robotic puppy that aims to make companionship a reality for seniors and other people who'd love a furry friend but can't quite care for a real pet. It's a positive look at how tech is touching some surprising aspects of our everyday lives. If it seems like a lot of people you know have had the flu lately, you are not alone. In the final week of December, the CDC says that 1 in 12 doctor's visits were for flu symptoms. That marks the highest levels of infection in more than 25 years. Nearly every state, all but four of them, is reporting high or very high influenza levels. Part of the reason for this surge, there is a new strain, Subclad K. It arose in the U.S. after health officials developed this year's flu vaccine. So if you received a flu vaccine this year, it will still make potential illness less severe, but it might not protect you entirely. Regardless, here are a few tips that can help us keep safe from all these germs that are running rampant right now. Number one, wash your hands. Not just after going to the restroom, not just before you eat. Wash them as often as possible. And soap and water is always better than hand sanitizer alone. Number two, if you feel sick, stay home. Those project deadlines, those quizzes, school performances might not be worth spreading germs, infecting peers, and prolonging your own recovery. 3, get lots of rest. A tired immune system is a weaker immune system, and sleep helps your body naturally ward off infection before it starts spreading in your body. So drink up that water, those electrolytes, and get you some good old-fashioned vitamin C, even if it comes from just chowing down some oranges. Pop quiz, hotshot, what Grammy Awards category was discontinued after only 1 year? Best album cover, best new age album, best music video, or best live tour? And the winner is album cover. Electric Blues Outfit, the Siegel Schwal Band, was the first and only music act to win that Grammy in 1973 for their self-titled album. There is a new category at the Grammys this year. Best album cover. The 68th Grammy Awards is bringing back this category for the first time in 50 years. That's like half a century. This year's awards will showcase the photography, graphic design, and even some paintings that were featured on some of 2025's collections of music. The nominees are... Yes, that guy is everywhere. Last year, Bad Bunny... His simple album cover for Debí Tirar Más Fotos is among the contenders. Joe's The Crux, also making this list. Glory by Perfume Genius. Moisturizer by Wet Leg. And finally, this evocative image from Tyler, the Creator's Chromacopia. The award for Album Cover of the Year goes to the project's art directors, and the recording artists are also included as nominees in all cases except for Glory. The Grammy Awards will be held on February 1st. When you picture Olympic training, maybe you imagine these massive gyms, state-of-the-art equipment, but 85 miles from Egypt's capital in the Nile Delta, some of the country's strongest female wrestlers are chasing that dream in a space smaller than a classroom. This is Al Shal and Manshia Club. The entire training hall measures roughly 11 feet by 11 feet, yet nearly 20 girls run laps, drill takedowns, lift heavy tires, often training shoulder to shoulder. The club operates with limited funding and outdated equipment, but it has produced national champions in wrestling and judo. One of them, 15-year-old Rodena Ahmed Gamal. She's qualified for the 2026 Youth Olympics in Dakar, Senegal.
Limited resources, immense achievements, a very, very, very small club beyond what you can imagine. Yet we produce champions from the determination and perseverance of the players and coaches I have with me.
Rodena also trains at larger stadiums with better facilities, but she says this small club is where she belongs. Some other girls say they still question whether wrestling is a sport for them at all.
Many people don't want me to play. They say it doesn't fit me. How can a girl play wrestling? How? But I love it.
Coach Mahmoud says Rodena's success has inspired more than a dozen girls, some even younger than 12, to join, building a new generation of athletes and proving that determination can outweigh doubt, distance, and even space. Today's story, getting a 10 out of 10, a teenager whose future already has a strong pulse and she is qualified to check it.
I'm the youngest paramedic in the world.
Meet Avery Hoy, a 17-year-old from Hutchinson, Kansas. She's already nationally certified as a paramedic, reaching a major career milestone before she even walks across that stage to get her high school diploma.
I took an EMT class when I was 15. I had no idea what I wanted to do, and I just instantly fell in love with emergency medicine, and I just found my direction. I love it.
Although Avery is certifiably the youngest person in the room, and it could be intimidating, she's found that people are willing to teach her, and that's opened more opportunities. And when Avery isn't training to save lives, she's leaping from the classroom to the dance studio.
In the dance world, they're constantly training you on precision and grace and confidence, and those overlap both with my teaching and when I'm out in the field as well.
Balancing it all has not been easy, but Avery says it's worth it, especially when she's helping others and giving back in meaningful ways. She's mastering movement and medicine. All right, before I bolt, I have a shout out today going to Mr. Oakley at Western Boone High School in Thorntown, Indiana. Thank you for watching us each and every day. We appreciate you. And from our Instagram followers, Elevations Academy in Syracuse, Utah. Mr. Reed, your student Eli messaged us on Instagram and said, you are a legend and they are going to miss you so much. Thank you. And all of our educators out there, you are the spark that starts the fire. You're more powerful than you know. Make it an awesome day, everyone. I'll see you tomorrow. I'm Coy Wire and we are CNN 10.